Praise God. It's another good morning that God has given us to listen to His Word. And I trust that you are well and that the Lord is keeping and watching over your life. You know, as we continue to reflect on this aspect of spiritual warfare, we see that scriptures tell us to put on the whole armor of God, that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The devil comes with his wiles. He comes with his trickery. He comes with his methods. He comes with his craftiness. And he always desires that he may scheme you out of the will and purposes of God. The enemy is not as strong as we think. In fact, the Bible tells us that we shall look at him narrowly and ask, is this the man that deceived the entire world? Is this the man that troubled the entire world as we see it? In that day, we shall look at him that way, with narrow eyes, because he is reduced to nothing. He was defeated by the Christ. Jesus triumphed over him, over the cross, and disarmed him, and made a public spectacle of him, and every written legality against us was nailed at the cross. And thus we have a responsibility to take our stand, and also to be caused to make to stand, in that we can defend the kingdom, we can stand for the kingdom, we can take possession of the kingdom, knowing that God has purposed that we be vessels of honor, vessels that will interact, vessels that will break through the works of the enemy and take the war to the gates of hell. The Bible says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. I will build my church, and I'll give you the keys of the kingdom, that whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So the key things that God gives us, he gives us weapons. And so far we've been able to see some of the weapons that we've been given, and one of the weapons that we're told is the belt of truth, where you guard your loins with truth. And we say that truth is what binds it all together. Truth is that absoluteness of what God has said. It's that complete set of knowledge of truth that God has given you, that establishes you, that brings you back to the knowledge that even when the enemy, you know, fires doubt in your heart, even when you go through certain challenges and you start to declare the truth of God, then that truth of God stands and brings you back to your place of standing. Then we've also spoken about the breastplate of righteousness. And we say that this is the key because it is your bulletproof. Righteousness is a weapon. In fact, the Bible describes weapons of righteousness on the right and on the left, in that when you have a right standing before God, and we spoke about that this is not the Old Testament righteousness or the righteousness of religiosity, which is based on what you can do or what you have done, but this is the righteousness that is by faith, that is a gift from God, that is a nature that is imparted, but it does not just stop with the righteousness that what Christ has worked in you, but it also is translated into righteous living. That means you practice righteousness. And the Bible says anyone that does not practice righteousness is of the devil, is a child of the devil. But you that are born again, you practice righteousness. Why? Because righteousness ends even with our practice. So God uses the message of righteousness to gift us our righteousness. He gives us in credit. Then he enables us to live that holy life. And when you are walking in righteousness and you have received the righteousness of God, then you know that you have access to the Father. You are holy, that you are able to confront the works of the enemy. And indeed, you are becoming an agent of God. Then today we look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15, and we look at the other weapon of warfare that is given to the believer. And verse 15 says, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, when you think of the Roman soldier, they used to have this shoes that are mostly like sandals, and they will strap them, you know, up their feet. And what you're saying is that you need to shod your feet. That means you need to have strapped your feet with the preparation or with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. One of the metaphors of the gospel that is we see in the scriptures is feet. You know, when the Bible says, blessed are the feet of those who, of the ambassadors, of those who carry the gospel, blessed are their feet. Feet refers to the preaching of the gospel. When the Bible says that they brought all their money, they sold their lands, they brought it to the feet of the apostles, that means they brought it and placed it at their feet for the work of the gospel. That means the blessing of the gospel, that they're going to preach the gospel. Now, when it says that there is the gospel of peace, you must understand that the gospel is actually a message of peace. Gospel stands for good news. But then when you think of peace there, peace in Greek here is Eirene, and or Irene, or yeah, depending on how you pronounce it. But it is also the Hebrew equivalent of this is shalom. Now, when you think of even what does this Greek word mean, Irene or peace, you will have to realize that there are actually up to almost seven meanings of the word shalom. And one of them is a state of national tranquility, where there is peace. And then number two is an exemption from the rage of or havoc of war. Number three is peace between individuals. So that means harmony. There is harmony, there is concord, then number four is security, safety, prosperity. You know, where things are peaceful, then we have prosperity. And then number five, it speaks of the Messiah's peace. That means the way that leads to peace. It speaks of salvation. So when we speak of the gospel of peace, we also refer to the gospel of salvation. It also refers to prosperity. It also refers to harmony. It also refers to absence of war, you know, absence of the rage and havoc of war. And then it also speaks of the state of a soul that is assured of its salvation through Christ. So fearing nothing from God and content with its earthly lot, whatever sort that is. That means that when you are come to the place of peace, that means you are sure, you have the assurance that you're going to heaven, that you have received the peace of God, and that you've got nothing else that you need on this earth apart from God, and whatever God has given you is enough. And then also that state of peace is that blessed state of devout and upright men after death. So when we speak of the message of peace, of the gospel of peace, we are speaking of the entire gospel of salvation, the gospel of shalom. You know, the Bible describes God as the God of peace, that God desired to bring peace to man. Why? Because when men sinned, when Adam sinned, their wall of hostility was brought between God and man. There was a dividing wall of sin that God could not interact with man freely. Why? Because man sinned and became an enemy of God. Now, what does that is when sin entered, sin made us carnal. It made our minds carnal. And the Bible says the carnal mind is enmity with God. So sin brought about our separation with God. In fact, he says his ears are not too dull to hear us, but our sins have separated us from our God. You know, sins separate us from God. But you see, God did not desire us to be enemies, to stay his enemies. But he wanted that we be reconciled back to him. When that's why it says he has given us the message of reconciliation. How does God bring reconciliation to humankind? How does he bring peace? He brings it through the chastisement, the discipline that he places on the Christ, the breaking of his body. Isaiah 53 tells us that he was chastised. The chastisement that was brought us peace was laid upon him. By his stripes we were healed. That means that when his body was broken, when the discipline, when the beatings were placed on the Christ, that is what fulfilled the requirement, the righteous requirement of the law that says that the wages of sin is death, and then the gift of God is eternal life. The gift of God, which is the peace of God. And that is why he is called the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace comes in to bring that reconciliation between man, the sinful man, and he is cleansed, he is purified and brought holy and made holy before God and brought to the Father. And that reconciliation takes place. So God himself becomes our peace, and he desires that he makes peace between us. And let's just look at some verses. Romans chapter 5 verse 1 tells us, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that our tribulation worketh patience. Look at that. He says that we are justified by faith. And justification means it's a court declaration that you are not guilty. You see, when you are justified by God by faith, it is a declaration by God that you are not guilty. Then it says, we have peace with God. That means that thing that brought enmity between us and God, that thing that brought war, that sin, that carnal mind that brought us into war, into disagreement with God by our sinful nature, then it is reconciled in God. And we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And when you have peace with God, then you have access by faith to the grace in which that we stand. Now let us look at also Colossians 1:19, which puts it also repeats the same but in a unique way. It says, Colossians 1:19, it says, for it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. This is the fullness of the Godhead. God was pleased that all the fullness of the Godhead should dwell in the Christ. That means everything about God was in Christ. And then verse 20 says, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. So what God does is that as he brings peace to man, he also brings peace to heaven and earth. Remember, as we spoke about the battle of the kingdoms, there was that separation between the kingdom of man and the kingdom of God. But you see, God in Eden, he had brought that unity. And that is why Eden is not a physical place. Eden was the place of unity between heaven and earth, where God could closely interact with man, could visit him in the cool of the day. And that unity is rebrought again in the believer that has given their life to Jesus, in whom the kingdom of God is within them. The kingdom of God is established in your heart. Now, when God comes through the Holy Spirit and comes and makes his dwelling in you, he restores that unity between heaven and earth, and he brings it into you. That means that you are in heaven and heaven is in you. You are united with God. You are in God. Your life is hidden in Christ, and Christ is in God. At the same time, Christ is in you. Now, this is the mystery, the fellowship of the mystery of the union with God. Now, that is what God is saying, that he brings a reconciliation of all things to himself, whether things on the earth or things in the heaven, having made peace through the blood of the cross. That means there's only one thing that could bring peace between God and man, and that is the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, the shedding of the blood. You know, when you think about people that make covenants with the blood, people that make covenants with blood of animals and bulls, or even those that even kill children, kill human beings, yes, they do that. But you see, there is a greater blood. There was a sinless blood. There was a precious blood of the Son of God, a lamb that was slain before the foundations of the earth were laid, a blood that has of greater value than even the blood of Abel. Abel, yes, it spoke vengeance. The blood of Abel was righteous. The Bible calls him righteous, but he still had the sin of his father, Adam. But you see, Christ came without any original sin. He is the second and the last Adam. And when he died, when he paid the price, when he was sacrificed innocently, when God gave his own son, he gave himself to sacrifice us. He brought us peace, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by your wicked words, this is Colossians 1:21, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. God knows that we were enemies in our mind through our wicked works. You see, when we are wicked, when every inclination of man is sinful, in fact, that is why God said that he will not strive with man. Why was the first world destroyed? Because every inclination of the heart of man, of the mind of man, was wickedness, was to sin. And God said he will not strive with man again, and he will destroy. And that's why he reduced their days to 120. But you see, God still desired man because he made man in his image and likeness. God's desire was that man to be his dwelling place, that he can freely interact with him at will, as per his desire. And what God does is that he comes back and he reconciles himself to man through the blood of Jesus. And the Bible says through his body, through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. If indeed you continue in the faith and grounded and steadfast and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you had, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Now, just, it might look very fast, but verse 22 says, and to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. You see, when you look at yourself, and if you're honest with yourself, you will not see that you are deserving of God's mercy. In fact, the Bible says, if any man claims to be without sin, he deceives himself. But if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to cleanse you and purify us from all unrighteousness. Now, when God says that he presents you to himself, he presents you to God as holy and blameless, without reproach, without shame in his sight. That means that when we come to God through Christ, when we come to God through the gospel, through what Christ has done, we don't approach God on our own effort. We don't approach God on our own righteousness. We don't approach God on our own power or on our own wisdom. But we come to God with the confidence that we are not coming on our own accord. We are coming through the body of Christ. And that is why the Bible says he presents us to God as holy and blameless in his sight. That means when we come to God, you must have a renewal of mind, that you're not coming to God wondering what you did, because the enemy will try to rewire you and tell you that you are not worthy to approach God. But you see, when you know that your righteousness does not come from you, it does not come from man, but it comes from God. So you come to the Father, and you come to him through the blood of Jesus. You come to him through the body, through the broken body. And when the Father looks at you, he sees his Son. He sees the Christ. He sees Christ. And when he sees Christ as holy and blameless in his sight, without shame. Then he answers you. Anyone that has this revelation, that they are united with Christ, that by their union with Christ, they approach God as Christ. And by their union with Christ, they can now face the world as Christ. You become the hands and feet, his bones. You can face the world. You can fight the world. You can conquer the world. Why? Because you are united with Christ. Ephesians 1:3 says, praise be to the Lord our God and Father, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. And that word is because of your union with Christ Jesus, because you are united in Christ Jesus. That means when we are united with Christ, then we are given his authority, his blessing, his throne. We sit with him in heavenly places. But above that, we are also given his holiness. We are given his righteousness. We are given his access to the Father. And by that we receive his peace. His peace is his shalom, his prosperity, his tranquility, his absence from war and havoc, his settledness, that blessedness of a heart that is assured that we are going to heaven. That even that blessedness that knows that we know our final resting place, even in death, we know where we are going. We know we are going to the Father. And anyone that has not come to God in salvation, anyone that has not received the sacrifice that Jesus did, does not have access to this peace. Now that's why the Bible calls us ministers of reconciliation, ambassadors of Christ, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself and not counting men's trespasses against themselves. And he's asking us with the same message, go and speak to the world, tell them, be reconciled back to God. You see, when God sees us through Christ, he does not count our sins against us. That's why the Bible says God is no longer counting man's sins or men's sins against them. The enemy will want to remind you of your sin, of what you did when you were 17 years old, of the various evils that you have done. But you see, God does not see you that way. God sees you as holy and blameless in his sight. And this is the gospel of peace. This is the gospel of God's shalom, God's prosperity, God's peace and tranquility, God's assurance. And that is why the Bible says that it is the Spirit. He is the Spirit. Let the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. He is the God of all peace. He is the Lord of peace. Let him guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It says, let the peace of God that surpasses human understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God that is beyond human understanding. And that is why the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. It is a revelation for you to understand that God desired peace with man. That is why he completed all that. That's why the song says, the wrath of God was satisfied. All that wrath that was against sin, he was placed on Christ. The Bible says, he that knew no sin was made sin, that you might become the righteousness of God. God desired that you and I be made the righteousness of God. When you are made the righteousness of God, then you have peace with God. I tell you, God is not at war with you. When you've come to Christ, he breaks that dividing wall. He brings us into unity, into one new man. Ephesians speaks of that. Into one new man, there is no more Jew or Gentile. That wall of hostility is broken. And it is only broken in Christ. Why? Because he desired that we are made into one new man. And when we are in that one new man, we have access to the Father. Let's look at that. Ephesians 2 verse 14. The Bible says, for he himself is our peace. Oh my God. He himself is our peace. He becomes our peace. And the Bible says that, and who has made both one, and here he was speaking about the Gentiles and the Jews, both one, and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both. That means the new man, Jew and Gentile, one. He might reconcile them both to God in one body. When God says, I think it's Ephesians, where it says we are members of his body, his flesh and his bones. He is our head and we are his body. We are members of his body, his bones and his flesh. That means that we are made in peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body, through the cross, and thereby putting the death to the enmity. So that means the enmity that was there, that we were enemies of God, that is brought to an end. And he came and he preached peace. peace to you. So you see, Christ comes and preach peace to us. Shalom. Think of how Jesus will send his disciples to go and preach. He will tell them, when you go to a house, speak to it, peace be with you. And if a son of peace is there, he will welcome you. Stay in his house, eat and drink and do, heal the sick, preach, do whatever ministry that is required of you there. But if a son of peace is not there, he says, let your peace return to you. So the gospel of peace is to go and speak the word of God's reconciliation, of God's hand to men, and tell them, look here, God desires that you come back to him, be reconciled to him. But if the person is not willing, your peace will return to you. And the Bible says, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for those who heard the gospel of peace and rejected it. The Bible says, let your feet be shod with the readiness of the preparation of the preaching of the gospel of peace. That means each and every day be ready. Think of the Israelites when they were about to leave Egypt on that day of the Passover. They were told to eat the food with their belts tied and with their feet on their sandals tied. That means everyone must be ready to go. That's why the Bible says, be instant, be ready, in and out of season, always ready to preach the gospel, always be ready to give everyone an answer for the reason as to why you believe, in and out of season. That means if I wake you up now and I tell you someone, there's someone who needs to hear the gospel, you're ready to go. When you meet someone in a plane flight, and they're just speaking, and a window of opportunity comes, you can speak the gospel of peace. You can declare to them and say, the reason why I am at peace, the reason why my heart is at rest, I'm not worried about any accidents or about this flight crashing, is because my heart is secure in the Lord Jesus. I know where I am going. Do you know where you're going? Do you know the state of your heart? Do you know that God has declared shalom? God has declared peace with you. God has given us a message of reconciliation, that we must reconcile men back to God. Speak to men. Tell them that God loves them, that God wants them to come back to know him. And when your feet are always ready to go, ready to give, ready to pray. You see, when it comes to missions, we either pray for missions, we either give for missions, or we are either going for missions. And if you do the three, you get 100%, you reap 100-fold. So don't just pray for missions, give for missions. Don't just give for missions, go for missions. Do the work of an evangelist. The Bible says, blessed are the feet. How can they hear except someone preaches to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? And the Bible says, blessed are those ambassadors of peace. Blessed are the feet of those who carry the gospel. Blessed are their feet. You are blessed today if you're an ambassador. Go out today and speak to someone about the gospel. Find someone and share the gospel. Use whatever means. Use your social media. Use your messaging. Use your Facebook, your YouTube. Spread the gospel. Bible says they shall shine like stars in the firmament, those that win many to the Christ, those that win many to the Lord. You will shine, and you're shining today. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for the gospel of peace. Indeed, you have said you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are stayed on you. I pray for perfect peace, O God. Let the peace that surpasses human understanding guide your children. Let there be peace in homes, peace in families. Let the peace on earth, as it was announced by the angels, let it be made manifest in your people. Let us know that you are the God of all peace, the Lord of all peace, the Prince of peace. You are in charge of our lives, and indeed nothing can shake us. Nothing can threaten us, and indeed we receive the entire shalom, the entire blessing that comes from you. And what a blessedness to be known that we are reconciled back to our Father, and that you do not count our sins against us, and you desire that we continue in this same way, steadfast,
trusting in you, depending on you, and waiting upon you. I thank you for healing in your children. I thank you for the blessings of God upon their lives. Be with them, watch over them, until we meet again. May the Lord be with us. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Shalom and blessed, blessed day.